Wow. Can you believe that we have wrapped up a 12-week series through the book of James? I mean, maybe it's just me, and it's okay if it is, but I feel like it was just yesterday. We were kind of launching out our spiritual, you know, leaders and disciple-making communities for the fall. Anybody remember that? Just like it was yesterday. And a few of us Razorback fans, you know? We thought maybe a little bit of a turnaround in the football program. A little progress, maybe. Well, you can't win them all. You know, you can't win them all. I say that all the time, but I could have stood a couple more wins. Would have been great, you know. We'll try again next year, I suppose. Rebuilding yet again, you know. But, you know, of course I wonder about our spiritual lives of knowing and expressing the authentic Christ. And I wonder at the beginning of the series, maybe there are a few of us that were hoping in that regard for a bit of a turnaround. You know, I wonder what progress you've seen in your faith and your experience of following Jesus over the course of the last several weeks in this fall so far. And I'm excited about tonight. And I'm eager about what we might experience as we take some time to pray. We're actually going to look over the same passage that Matt Newman taught last week, but we're going to take some time to practice the rhythm of prayer together. But first, pull out your connect sheet. So whenever you walk in, you get a piece of paper. It's got a lot of good information on it. You know, stuff to sign up for and be aware of. Prayer requests are in there, typically maybe a note from our directional leader. And on the back, every week, there's a resource called our connect sheet. We have reflection, discussion questions. There's always a five-day scripture reading plan there each and every week. And notice where it starts, looking back. And so I wonder with me, what are you going to remember through this season walking through James? What are you going to remember or take away? You know, I wonder what those particular moments that stood out to you, whether we were gathered together in worship as we are tonight, or those moments of sharing life together with others in community, you know, how did God's word intersect with your experience of life over the last several weeks? Maybe some of you might remember some study notes, and that's good. You know, you might remember that James is most likely the earliest New Testament letter that we have. James was the half-brother of Jesus, not to be confused with the Apostle James, who is a son of Zebedee along with the Apostle John, his brother. And the Apostle James was actually martyred before this letter was penned by the half-brother of Jesus, the elder in the church of Jerusalem. And he authored this letter on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to disperse and persecuted Jewish Christians. You might remember that James is structured more like a Jewish sermon than any other New Testament letter that we have. All the main themes of James are introduced in the first chapter, and he has a way of circling back through those. And in fact, you might notice that where we left off in James chapter 5 is exactly where we started this journey. And so it's almost as if you could fold the letter of James in half and it would mirror each side. Now you might notice, in fact, the daily reading plan on the back of your connect sheet is just walking through each chapter of James. It's kind of one more pass through, and I wonder how God might use that personally in our lives. Here are actually the message titles for the last several weeks through James and the text. And again, I wonder, you know, which one or few stood out to you personally? I wonder why that might be. You know, was there something especially convicting or encouraging to you? Regardless, we all probably know by now that James kind of packs a challenging punch. Because he commands that faith in Christ is followed up with works that look like Christ, this living, maturing, and active faith. And so notice what's next on the connect sheet, kind of looking forward to our next series in clarity. It's a year-long series, which is kind of cool. And we'll kind of walk through the church calendar for a year. And it's a series that focuses on knowing and expressing the life of Christ as part of his church. And so practically, make sure to get your Clarity workbooks for the whole year, just $5. And let's commit to walking through that journey together. So let's read the scriptures that are there, the personal and the family devotionals that you'll find there. Let's get to know this Christ as we reflect, as we discuss, as we pray. Let's focus on expressing the authentic Christ individually and together in our disciple-making communities in each and every unique season of the church calendar in the upcoming year. And so Clarity actually kicks off next week with the Advent season, where we'll really focus on the importance and the significance of the coming of Christ. So a little looking back, a little looking forward, but what about the present? What about tonight? And so let's open back up to James 5, 13 through 20. So again, Matt Newman taught this passage last week, so I won't really explain much. I'm just going to make a few observations and then give us some space and time to practice the rhythm of prayer together. Does that sound good? All right. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. And so you might just notice the personal and then individual focus of this verse. And I wonder, does anyone else find themselves actually answering yes to both questions? Anyone else, or is it just me? Sure, you know, different times and seasons of life, maybe it's more weighted heavily one way or the other, but at least I find that I kind of have this ongoing mix of both. Billy Graham, the late Billy Graham, famously said, and I happen to agree, that prayer is the voice of faith. Prayer is the voice of faith. And so with kind of this verse in mind, you might add to that that prayer is the voice of faith that speaks, and then praise is the voice of faith that sings. Even as we head into the holiday season, Thanksgiving is just next week. Can you believe it? There may be a mix of prayer through pain as well as praise through celebration needed. Perhaps for some of us in our experience, you know, the holiday season is just pure cheerfulness, pure praise, and I'm happy for that. For others of us, our backstory has brokenness that has a way of surfacing around these times of year. Grief and loss and other manner of hurts and habits and hang-ups that tend to surface, along with memories. And so it's good for us to remember that it's good. It's good to name those things. It's good to be honest with God where it hurts and to pray through those things. And so let's take some time individually to pray and to praise. And so I'd encourage you, take out a pen and paper if you got it. Maybe open up a new note on your phone where you can put down some reflections or thoughts or prayers and praises. And notice the prompts on the screen and also they're in front of you in that connect sheet. First, where does it hurt in life right now? Where does it hurt? What would you like to say to God about that? And this is the all-important turn. What would it sound like to actually say that to God, to pray that to God? Second, take some time to fill in the blanks, as many as you'd like or want to, with gratitude and praise. It might sound something like this. God, thank you for, name all the many blessings that he's showered upon us, material, spiritual, people might come to mind and go on and on. God, thank you for. And as you're reminded of his character and nature, maybe you might take that step of adoration and praise. And God, you are wonderful, literally full of wonders. Or God, you are faithful, or you are forgiving, and on we could go. And there's actually going to be an instrumental song during this time, and we're just going to take 4 minutes for this, okay? This is phase one, you could call it. 4 minutes, and it's this instrumental song by a group called Slow Meadow. And there it is. There's one guy that knows it. Yeah, me and him. We know about Slow Meadow. And this song is actually entitled, We Can Only Love Through Suffering. Interesting title. And you might notice that it actually starts with some interesting sounds at the beginning, even some dissonance, until it finally breaks into this melody and harmony that's really beautiful. And that would be my hope for these next few minutes, is that we would have the courage to name some of that pain and pray through it and persevere through that to abound in gratitude and praise. Remember, James told us that every good and perfect gift is from God. You tell him thanks. And also remember that James told us that we can persevere through suffering and pain with a bit of perspective, a bit of prayer, a bit of patience. And so let's practice just that and take some time to pray individually and personally for the next few moments. I asked around to some spiritual leaders around here, what helps you pray? What helps you pray? And here are a few things. You might remember Matt Newman's kind of pray acronym from last week. You know, pause, rejoice, ask, and yes, kind of that step of faith. There are a few other acronyms, as it turns out. Papa Prayer, maybe some of you know of that resource and use that personally. It goes something like this: present, attend, purge, and approach, or the acts, prayer, and kind of pattern. It seems to be a favorite around here, a very biblical pattern. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so really well balanced, the different modes of prayer you find there. Some of us use reminders on our phones or watches. Some of us use prayer journals to handwrite prayers and reflections about Scripture. Some of us use prayer lists to kind of remember names and needs and go through that. Some leaders get creative with note cards, you know, maybe to remember a passage, or maybe around the house or the office to be able to remember to pray. Some of those spiritual leaders pray Scripture, you know, in general, or maybe specific Scriptures like the Lord's Prayer or Psalm 23 consistently. Some use prayer points. This was a really creative idea where they take kind of daily routines and of maybe their day or even their week, and turn some of those parts of their routine into prompts to pray and reminders to pray. And so that could be first thing, like just getting up out of bed or flicking on a certain light switch. Or it could be the commute to and from work, or a water cooler or a coffee pot. It could be anything, you know, just a reminder to pray. It could be a beautiful spot on a trail or maybe an art gallery that you frequent. You know what else was a key resource in prayer? Other people. Other people. And so that's where James actually leads us next in verses 14 through 16 in this chapter. This communal, relational focus of prayer. Is anyone among you sick? That word is interesting. It could even be translated more broadly: weak, weary, even worn out. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And you might know this, you might not, that our elders at Fellowship actually pray in that very way for people that are sick and suffering during their meetings. And that's available to anyone. Just email Mickey, or you could contact one of the community pastors like myself, and we could help you with that. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise, or it could be translated awaken, or stir him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And so we're going to take another few minutes to pray, actually a little bit longer this time. But this time we're going to pray together in groups. And so it could be, you know, a couple. It could be some friends that you're sitting nearby. It could be people that you're sharing life and community with. And here's what we're going to do. Two songs, this time by a group called Hammock. And two songs. It's a good group. You check them out. One song is called Turn Away and Return. And then the next song is called Take a Drink from My Hand. And I think those two songs together would be my hope and prayer for these next few minutes. And I think it's James' intent that there is a way that we can return together, that we can experience forgiveness, that we can be refreshed through praying for one another. And so for our purposes tonight, we're going to circle up, as I've said, and notice these prompts on the screen. And they're also in the Connect sheet. Where do you feel weakness, maybe weariness? Where do you feel the effects of sin in your life? It could be your own or sins against you. And to fill in the blanks would be something like this. I feel exhausted, or I feel discouraged. Will you pray for me? The next thing might be, you know, I'm sorry for, you know, the ways I've lost my patience and temper today or this week. Will you pray for me? Or I'm sorry about those lingering wounds from my past, those old hurts, habits, and hangups. Will you pray for me about that? And so, believe me, I know that this is a vulnerable thing. And yet, at the same time, in this passage, God promises us refreshment, healing, awakening, and stirring up. So I think it would be worth sharing, even if it's broad, even if it's brief, and to have the blessing of being prayed over and prayed for. And so as we head into this time, kind of keep your eyes out for some other folks around you. Make sure that everyone has the opportunity to be prayed for or included. We'll have some folks kind of roaming around from our prayer team to help that. But maybe you're a small group leader, disciple-making community leader in some form or fashion. Just keep your eyes out, and as we take this time to pray for one another. So let's do that now. Well, I hope the time flew by. And I understand maybe people are still praying, and so maybe you could even linger after the service, you know, and finish up where you left off. That would be quite all right. It's good to pray for one another and to experience that. James ends his letter, as you might remember from last week, kind of on a missional or outreaching, transformational, you could say, note. Living as sent, as we like to say around here at Mosaic, from the prayer of Jesus in John 17. James ends on this note of life change. And James, to be fair, doesn't make this a matter of prayer, but I would like to for our purposes tonight. And this is what James does say. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And so James says, let him know. Let him know the transformational, the redeeming effect of one wandering coming back home. Not only for the one who is experiencing that new life in Christ, who has wandered, but also, you might notice, for the one who has the joy of bringing that wandering one back home. Mutual blessing. And so I'd like to for us to know that too, and I guess that God helped me out on this one, because it just so happens that Angel Suarez wants to be baptized tonight. And so I'd like to share a little bit about his story. Angel, if you want to go ahead and come on up. You don't have to necessarily get in the water yet, but we're getting close. We just prayed. Angel was feeling a mixture of nervous and excited, and here it is. A little bit about Angel and I. We met a few weeks, a few times, I meant to say, over maybe the past, is it 2 years now? Almost, a little over a year. And so somewhere during the course of meeting, it was like, Angel, you have a new spirit about you. You know, something has changed, and it just might be the Holy Spirit. And so we started talking about that. And that's, we don't know exactly the moment, and that's one of the reasons that baptism is so important, to remember. It has a way of sealing in our minds and hearts and souls and even into our bodies that we are indeed an adopted son or daughter in the name of the Father. That we are saved and we serve in the name of the Son, and that we are witnesses in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And so that's from now on, you know, cleansed once and for all in Christ, by Christ, to rise up and to walk in this newness of life of following Christ. And so let that be an invitation. If you've never taken that step as a Christian, whether you're, you know, came to faith yesterday or 20 years or more ago, it's time. It's time to take the step of baptism. For Angel, my hunch personally is that the moment happened while he was working on some tile. He told me the story, and he just kind of gave up. He surrendered his allegiance to God, not himself. Not his efforts, whether religious or, you know, professionally or any of those things, and simply said, God, I can't do this anymore. You take it. You take over. So we've met a few times since then to seek growth and connection with God and others. And now he wants to take this public step to kind of pledge his allegiance to Christ publicly, which he did a few months back privately. But a couple of things to note in his story. Who changed Angel's life? God. God did. Our Redeemer did it again. He has a way of doing that, and I love him for it. I got to play a small part in this unfolding story, but you know who else did? Is anyone in his Discover group right now, Discover Mosaic group? You recognize Angel. Would you stand? I know Dan and Diane Renall are kind of hosting that group. There's a couple of us there, and so you might not realize it, but you had a part to play in Angel's story. Or what about Brad and Bonnie Mitchell, their community? If you're connected with Brad and Bonnie Mitchell, maybe a friend, or you've been part of their group, especially this last year, would you stand? Anybody else in here besides Brad? A lot of second servicers there. But Brad is there and really took a special interest in Angel and met with him several times. Or what about our connections team? If you help with just welcoming people, and whether it's in the information booth or handing out a communicator or anything, would you stand? I know there are some of you here who stand. And so at some point, whenever Angel came back around to Mosaic, he just did what we told him to, you know, go back to the information booth and ask some questions. He was welcomed, and that's how we got connected, him and I, and then also with Brad and Bonnie Mitchell's group at that time. But another part of the story, further back, just around 6 years ago, there were literally dozens of people who served the Suarez family, showed up at their house in Bella Vista. And does anyone remember that story, like 6 years ago, serving the Suarez family? Would you stand? I wondered if there would be